stand other one. I don't like this, like this. You know? No, that black one. परमहंस परिव्राज कचार्य स्तोत्र शिष्य चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड गौरांग शिल प्रभुपाद की चार ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेष्व भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया। भगवत्युत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 3 चैप्टर 29 वर्स नंबर 10। प्लीज रिपीट आफ्टर मी। कर्म निर्हारम उद्दिश्य परस्मिन् वातदर्पणम् यजेर्यस्तव्यमिति वा पृथग्भावास सात्विकाः। कर्म निर्हारमुद्दिश्य परस्मिन् वातदर्पणम् यजेद्यष्टव्यमिति वा पृथग्भावास सात्विकाः। कर्म निर्मारमुद्दिश्य परस्मिन् वातदर्पणम् यजेद्यष्टव्यमिति वा पृथग्भावः स सात्विकाः। कर्म फ्रूटिव एक्टिविटीज, निर्हारम फ्रीइंग हिमसेल्फ फ्रॉम, उद्दिश्य विद द पर्पस ऑफ, परस्मिन टू द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड, वा और तदर्पणम ऑफरिंग द रिजल्ट ऑफ एक्टिविटीज, यजेत मे वर्शिप, यस्तव्यम टू बी वर्शिप्ड, इति दस वा और पृथक भाव सेपरेटिस्ट, सह ही सात्विकाः इन द मोड ऑफ गुडनेस। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी शील प्रभुपाद। शील प्रभुपाद की ट्रांसलेशन। When a devotee worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead and offers the results of his activities in order to free himself from the inabilities of fruitive activities, his devotion is in the mode of goodness. Purport. The Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and Shudras, along with the Brahmacharis, Grahasthas, Vanaprasthas and Sannyasis, are the members of the 8 divisions of Varna and Ashramas, and they have their respective duties to perform for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When such activities are performed and the results are offered to the Supreme Lord, they are called Karmarpana, duties performed for the satisfaction of the Lord. If there is any inebriety or fault, it is atoned for by this offering process. But if this offering process is in the mode of goodness rather than in pure devotion, then the interest is different. The 4 ashramas and the 4 varnas act for some benefit in accordance with their personal interest. Therefore, such activities are in the mode of goodness. They cannot be counted in the category of pure devotion. Pure devotional service, as described by Rupa Goswami, is free from all material desires. Anya bhilashita shunyam. There can be no excuse for personal or material interest. Devotional activities should be transcendental to fruitive activities and empiric philosophical speculation. Pure devotional service is transcendental to all material qualities. Devotional service in the mode of ignorance, passion and goodness can be divided into 81 categories. There are different devotional activities such as hearing, chanting, remembering, worshipping, offering prayer, rendering service and surrendering everything. And each of them can be divided into 3 qualitative categories. There is hearing in the mode of passion, in the mode of ignorance and in the mode of goodness. Similarly, there is chanting in the mode of ignorance, passion and goodness, etc. 3 multiplied by 9 equals 27. And when again multiplied by 3, it becomes 81. One has to transcend all such mixed materialistic devotional service in order to reach the standard of pure devotional service as explained in the next verse. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Melitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamahiyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Tapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Brindavaneshwari Vrishabhanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminate Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabho Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Krishna. We were just hearing about Lokanath Maharaj from Prabhuji, and I was remembering a verse from the Shastras. Kulam pavitram janani kritartham vasundharava vasati cha dhanya nrityanti svarge pitaro cha tesham yesham kule vaishnavanam gheyam. And this verse is perfect for Lokanath Maharaj. It just says, Kulam Pavitram, that family, that dynasty, that kula becomes pavitra, purified. Kulam Pavitram, Janani Kritartham. The mother, of course, becomes very, very fortunate. Vasundharava Vasati Chadhanya. So we see that in Lokanath Maharaj's life, he has initiated his family members, his sister, his elder brother, everyone is into devotion. Kulam Pavitram, Janani obviously is Kritartham, Vasundharava Vasati Cha Dhanya. So he was born in Aravade, and today we have a very beautiful temple in Aravade, and thousands of people are coming there and taking benefit of Krishna consciousness. So that land is glorified, otherwise we will never hear about Aravade. You know, this name also is difficult to pronounce. So it's a small village in Maharashtra. So it has been glorified. Nityanti Swarge Pritaro Chatesham. Obviously the forefathers, the ancestors, everyone is dancing in wherever they are, because Esham Kule Vaishnava Namakheyam. When a Vaishnava is born in the family, and he chants the holy name. And Lokanath Maharaj chants the holy name all the time. He is famous for chanting or for singing. So it's a great opportunity for all of us to hear about him today. And Prabhuji was twice or thrice, he was thanking the management for allowing him to organize. I was thinking it's not necessary. Lokanath Maharaj is not just one or two person's guru. He is an ISKCON bona fide guru. So if there is an organization for his Vyasa Puja, I don't think so we have to thank the management, isn't it? It's our responsibility to do it. So it's very nice. I'm sure today it's a big function in Pandharpur. Thousands of people are coming there to glorify Lokanath Maharaj. I was hearing from him when he was, Prabhuji was talking about his sannyas. So I was hearing that when his sannyas was to happen, actually Prabhupada decided about two devotees, and it was announced that these two will get sannyas in Vrindavan. Lokanath Maharaj's name was not there. And Lokanath Maharaj went to Prabhupada. And he said, I also want sannyas. You know, like a child. You know, mujhe bhi chahiye, mujhe bhi chahiye. I also need it. So he was like again and again telling Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, no, we'll see later. I said, no, maybe. I also want sannyas. So he was like insisting. His name was not there. Only two people's name was there. Two devotees' name. So finally, I think it was agreed. And then in Vrindavan, three devotees got sannyas. One of them was Lokanath Maharaj. So it's a very great opportunity for us to thank him, to remember him, and to seek blessings from him today on this auspicious day, so that we can develop the taste in chanting the holy name. We can develop the taste for kirtan, what he has. For hours and hours he goes on for the kirtan. And it's not from now, it's from the beginning. Many of Prabhupada's disciples, they say that even in the beginning times, they used to wait when Lokanath Maharaj will do kirtan. So we all seek blessings from him on this auspicious day, so that we can progress in devotional service. So what we are discussing today in this section of Bhagavatam is a very, very important section. Lord Kapila's instructions to Mother Devahuti. And of course the difficult part is there after some time, how he explains so many things, the Sankhya philosophy also previously. So this chapter particularly entitled Explanation of Devotional Service is very well divided. The first six verses, the shlokas, they speak of the questions of Mother Devahuti. So she asks questions on the types of devotional service, different types of devotional service. And she also asked about living entities and time. These were the three main questions which Mother Devahuti asked in the first six verses. And from 7th onwards, 7th shloka to the 20th shloka, Lord Kapila is describing the different kinds of devotional service, like what we are reading here today. It's mode of goodness, and then he'll go on to explain about pure devotional service. So up to 20th verse, he is going to describe about the devotional service, various types of devotional service. Then from 21 to 28, a very important section where he informs what are the challenges or the offenses one can have in devotional service and how to find the solution. And then from verse number 29 onwards, he goes on to explain about the gradations of living entity. This goes up to 34 verse. So different living entities, gradations he informs. And then from 35 to 37, in three verses, he informs his own position. Who is he? You know, because he is speaking so much, so why Mother Devahuti should believe all this? So he explains his own position. And from verse number 38 up to the end of the chapter, that's 45, he describes the characteristics of time. So three questions were asked by Mother Devahuti, and they are all answered in this chapter by Lord Kapila. So here in particular, what we are seeing after describing the devotion service in mode of ignorance, devotion service in mode of passion, he is describing about mode of devotional service or mode of bhakti, or bhakti in mode of goodness. So here it is described, four characteristics are given of a person who performs devotion service in mode of goodness. The first one is that he performs devotion service to come out of the sinful reactions. That is the first thing what we can say. So he has a desire to destroy karma. That is what makes it bhakti in mode of goodness, not pure devotional service. This Prabhupada is explaining in purport. So the first desire is he wants to destroy his karma. Second is that he wants to offer everything to the Lord. Karma arpanam, Prabhupada is explaining in the purport. So that is the second characteristics of the person who is performing the devotion service in mode of goodness. And the third is that he worships the Lord as a matter of duty. That is the third characteristics given here. And fourth, the purpose is to achieve liberation. So what makes this devotion in mode of goodness is that he has a desire to destroy his karma. He wants to achieve liberation, and he does it as a duty. Because the pure devotional service is not just done as a duty, it is done out of pure love. So this is the difference. Now, from the next one verse onwards, he's going to describe the pure devotional service. How you can perform pure devotional service. So Prabhupada in the purport, he's mentioning that what is the difference, what makes any devotion, whether in mode of goodness, passion, ignorance or pure, he says the mood of the performer. How you perform, that makes it mode of goodness, mode of passion, mode of ignorance, or beyond the modes, transcendental. Although bhakti is transcendental, then how transcendental bhakti can be divided into modes? When we say that bhakti is transcendental, bhakti is not material. Modes affect only material things. Modes cannot affect the spiritual things. And that is the reason when Lord comes here, he is not affected by modes. He is gunatit. And even when the pure devotees of the Lord come here, they are not affected by the modes because they are gunatit. So then if the devotees of the Lord are transcendental, Lord is transcendental, bhakti is transcendental, then how are we discussing about bhakti in mode of goodness, bhakti in passion? How are we bringing bhakti in that? So please understand, it is not that the bhakti has come under the mode of passion or ignorance. It is the performer who is into the mode of goodness. So his mood makes that bhakti either in goodness, passion or ignorance. That is what Prabhupada is explaining in purport. So we should not think that the transcendental bhakti has become has come under the modes of material nature. No. Bhakti always remains transcendental. It's the mood of the performer which makes it in goodness, passion or ignorance. And that is where in this purport Prabhupada says that bhakti is divided into 81 categories. So how do we understand these 81 categories? Sorry? 9 into 3 much 27. Then? So why we are multiplying it again? Combination of? So then it can go to various, not 81. If you go permutation combination, how many it can come? It won't be 81. Right? It can be n number. So how do you say 81? Okay, all of you. Huh? Prabhupada said, okay, that's the best thing. You know, ISKCON, we are protected by this word, Prabhupada said. If you don't understand anything, just say Prabhupada said. Don't try to understand. Well, it is correct. Mahajano yena gataha sapantha, this is called parampara. And it is correct for us. You know, we can just say Prabhupada said. But at least we should also try to understand, not just Prabhupada said. So how will it come to 81? 9 into 327, that is agreed. Right? And 27, why Prabhupada is saying again multiplied by 3? Which are those 3? Why this 27 is multiplied? Sorry? You are sitting so close, say loudly. You know, when we are not sure, we just say... It is the modes themselves are divided into 3 categories. Uttam, Madhyam and Adham. So the modes in goodness like Sattva, there is Uttam Sattva, there is Madhyam Sattva, there is Adham Sattva. Then there is Uttam, ignorance, like, you know, you can have mode of ignorance also in Uttam, Madhyam and Adham, 3 categories. So these 3 are divided. So that is why further divided into 3 because of the 3 qualities. So then it becomes to 81. So that is what Prabhupada is writing here. So all our life is actually divided into modes. What are the modes? 3 modes of nature. They make this material world. Like this cloth. If you see, it is made up of these threads, right? So if you remove all the threads from this cloth, remove all the threads, what will remain? Huh? Anything will remain? So you have removed and you have thrown the threads, what will remain? So this cloth, although it looks like a cloth, but it is nothing but combination of threads. Similarly, this material world is combination of 3 threads. You know, going like this, thread goes like this and it makes a cloth, right? So this material world is just a combination of 3 threads. Goodness, passion and ignorance. So the whole material world is just into these 3. And it is divided into these modes, all our actions, our day, our eating, anything you take. Krishna goes on explaining in Bhagavad Gita about this in detail. So everything, our worship, our charity, whatever you say is divided into these 3 because the material world is made up of just these 3 modes. And what are these 3 modes? Kindly keep your mobile switched off. You know, I have been saying in every class and such a nice environment, all are attentive. And why do you need mobile? If you are so important that... The country cannot be ruled unless you speak on the phone. Then you can keep your phone on because I don't want country at loss. But if you are not so important that the Prime Minister of the country is calling you every 5 minutes, please keep your mobile switch off. Nothing will happen. Don't worry. No loss. In fact, it's a gain. We have become slaves of mobile. Right? A new disease has come, ringsiety. Every 5 minutes we see why our phone is not ringing, what happened, you know. So it's a ringsiety we have every 5 minutes. Yes, If you don't get message, you switch on the data, you again press it and make it on, right? Why the message are not coming? So please be aware. We are on a, this is mode of material nature, right? Display of mode of material nature. That we are so affected that even though we are hearing how to go out of it, still we want to be in that. So it's really a big nuisance everywhere. And I request all the devotees, when you come to temple, switch it off, throw it somewhere. Don't throw it, okay, I know you're too attached. You cannot do it. Well, at least keep it somewhere. You know, like in India, many temples, during the rainy season, what we do is we keep a bucket outside. So there are umbrellas, raincoats. They can just keep there and come inside. So maybe we can have something like that. Keep a bucket, dustbin outside. And whenever you come, keep your mobile there and then, you know, come inside, enjoy the spiritual atmosphere. And while going, look from the garbage your mobile, if you can get it, and take it back, right? I know it's not going to happen. It's just imagination. But if it can happen, it's such a perfect place for the mobile. So kindly keep your mobiles switched off. If anyone's mobile rings now, he will have to sponsor next feast. Okay, and it should be a good feast, as per Prabhuji. Or more than that, I generally, because when I say you have to sponsor, people say, what's the problem, I'll sponsor. So nowadays I say, I will take the mobile for 3 days. That's a bigger punishment, right? That's why I be very careful. So modes of material nature affect our life, material life, conditioned life at every stage. So what are these modes? Because what we say, that everything what we see here has an existence in the spiritual world, isn't it? This is just the perverted reflection, what we are seeing here. So that means when we see the modes, they also should have some existence in the spiritual world. Maybe their original form, pure form, but has to be there. So what are these three? This is explained by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Jaiva Dharma, that he explains that these three modes of material nature are the three energies of Krishna, Samvit, Sandhini and Aladini. And these three potencies, they manifest, the perverted reflection of that comes here as ignorance, passion and goodness. So these are the energies of Krishna, the spiritual part. So here what we see is all a perverted reflection what we have here in this world. And this perverted reflection can never give us complete satisfaction. And that is why bhakti should be performed in the pure form. Not just to be like what we are seeing here in the modes of passion, modes of ignorance, etc. Actually, as devotees, we should understand what is pure devotional service. We should know and how to, and what pure devotional service is not, that also we should know. So this, that is why what Lord Kapila explained till this verse is what pure devotional service is not, before explaining that what is pure devotional service. So for us it is very important to know both. Prabhupada says in Ishopanishad that we should know both. Knowledge also and ignorance also. Vidya, avidya. We should know both. When we talk of vidya, we have heard this, that Prabhupada always says that in universities whatever is taught is avidya. So when I heard that initially, I was not convinced, you know, because we have studied from university, so how can we be convinced that it was all avidya? So we were thinking that it's okay, it may not be about Lord, but it is not all that avidya. It's good, right? You get some degree, you understand about machines, you understand about your own body, or so many things. But later I realized why he called avidya. Because when we talk of vidya, there are three categories. Paravidya, aparavidya and avidya. So paravidya means vidya which is transcendental. Parasasmatu bhavonyo vyakto vyaktat sanatanaha. Aparavidya is the knowledge of material world. Like we are taking the knowledge of material world in Bhagavatam, how everything comes. So is it avidya? When you are talking of material world, how the world is coming, how everything is manifesting, it's not avidya, it's aparavidya. Means the knowledge of the material world is utilized to achieve paravidya. If utilized to achieve God, that is called aparavidya. And if the same knowledge of the material world is utilized for your own sense gratification, it is called avidya. And that is why Prabhupada says all the universities worldwide are teaching avidya, because they are teaching the knowledge of this material world, but for your own sense gratification. So that is why we should know both what is bhakti and what bhakti is not. So we have heard till now, and afterwards we'll explain next verse onwards, the pure devotional service. And Prabhupada, as he is explaining this sentence, is very important, that if an offering process is in the mode of goodness rather than pure devotion, then the interest is different. So just by the mood of the person, everything changes. So our activities in devotional service are not as important as the mood behind it or the purpose behind it, because the purpose makes it contaminated. Like devotional service, it becomes contaminated. If you are performing devotional service just to hurt someone in a violent mood, it becomes an ignorance. And there are people who worship sometime or who pray to Krishna. If someone has hurt you or someone has done something, and then you pray, you know, he should not be happy anytime, something like that. So this is in mode of ignorance. And our bhakti we should perform not to hurt someone, not to gain something for your own self materially, but to achieve Krishna, but to please Krishna with love. Anukulyena Krishnanu Shilanam Bhakti Ruttama, Prabhupada is saying that here. That is called bhakti. So pure devotional service means anukulyena. Anukulyena means in a favorable mood. So your mood should be favorable. That makes it pure devotional service. Other activities, you may chant also. Your chanting will not be pure devotional service if the purpose behind it is wrong. But if it is anukulyena, it is in favorable mood, then it becomes pure devotional service. We have so many examples how we can understand. Like Chanur and Mushtik, when they were fighting with Krishna and Balaram, in fact they were giving pleasure to Krishna and Balaram. Right? Krishna was happy, because it was not that when he was hitting, Krishna was getting troubled and Krishna was saying, let me show you. He was feeling happy. Or maybe something like, he was feeling like itching on the body, and when they were hurt, when they were, you know, punching Krishna and Balaram, so Krishna was feeling very good, you know, itching has gone. Maybe Krishna was doing, maybe one here and one this side, okay, I'm feeling here, itching. So he was happy. So the purpose of bhakti is to please Krishna. And Chanur Mushtik pleased Krishna by their activities, but we don't call them devotees. Right? We don't call Sri Chanur Uvacha or something like that. Of course, we call Hiranyakashipu like that. Bhagavatam says, when he is giving lecture, so there it is mentioned, Sri Hiranyakashipu Uvacha. When I read it first time, I was surprised. Why Sri Hiranyakashipu Uvacha? Because he is going to speak what Krishna spoke in Bhagavad Gita. So we don't consider Chanur and Mushtik as devotees. Why? They pleased Krishna by their action, because it was not in favorable mood. Whereas the other side, you may not please Krishna, but if your mood is favorable, it is considered pure devotional service. Example of Yashoda. Yashoda was holding Krishna. She was breastfeeding Krishna at that time. And suddenly she thought that the milk is there on the gas, and she ran there. And as she ran, she left Krishna. And Krishna was very angry. Shukadeva Goswami says his eyes were red. He was biting his lips. And he was very angry, Krishna. So Yashoda did not please Krishna by her action. In fact, she angered Krishna. but she is considered a great devotee, right? Although Krishna was not pleased. In fact, Krishna was thinking that, you know, there's no value for me in this house. I have left Vaikuntha and come here, and what's happening, right? Yeah, and she just left me on the floor and she went away. So he was very angry. But that is considered pure devotional service because it was done in a proper mood. She never had the mood to displease Krishna. So it is the mood that makes anything devotional, pure, or contaminated. So how to bring that mood, how to come into that mood where we can always serve Krishna, where we can always take His shelter. And why is it happening? What is the reason that we are not able to develop that mood? What is the reason that we are not able to see Krishna? It is so obvious, it is so clear, Prabhupada has made so clear everything. But still we are not able to serve Krishna. Still we maintain desires. Because Kunti Maharani says, Maya Nato Natyadharo Yatha. Krishna is there in front of us. But what has happened? Maya Javanika Channam. There is a curtain of Maya. On whom? Not on Krishna. On us. Maya Javanika Channam. Agyad Hokshajam Avyayam. Prabhupada used to explain this with a story. He said that son went with his mother to see the drama in which his father was enacting. And he was sitting in the audience. His father was there right on the stage in the form of a king. And the son was asking the mother, where is the father? Where is my father? Because he could not recognize. Nato natya dharo yatha. Because Krishna, when he comes to this world, he enacts his pastimes as an actor does it on a drama, in a stage. Kritvana kila karmani saharamena keshava Ati Martyan Bhagavan Guha Kapatamanushaha. So he comes here and he displays, and we are not able to understand because Maya Javanika Channam. And to develop a proper mood of bhakti, we should remove this curtain. Of course, the curtain can be removed if somebody surrenders to Krishna. Samashritaye padpallavam plavam mahat Padam punya yasho murare Bhavan budhirvats padam param padam Padamum padam yad vipadam natesham. So for them who have surrendered to Krishna, there cannot be any problems. Padam padam vipadam natesham. For them nothing. But for those who have not surrendered, who have not understood the value of surrender to Krishna, for them there is problem. So we should now think that how we can come out of it. What is it that we have to develop? What mood of bhakti should we develop? In what mood should we do bhakti? That is important for us to understand. Thank you for the encouragement. So what mood should we have? What is it that keeps us away from this proper mood? Is our mind. Right? It is the mind, the enemy, the greatest enemy. Mind full of lust. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, who is our greatest enemy? It's lust. Kamesha Krodesha. Rajogunasamadbhava Mahashanu Mahapapna Vidyanam Ihavairinam. So mind is really takes away. And that is the reason when Krishna was appearing, he first appeared in the mind of Vasudeva. He did not appear in the womb of Devaki. He appeared in the mind of Vasudeva. And Acharyas have explained, why did he appear in the mind of Vasudeva? They say, because Krishna wanted to see, let me see what kind of this mind is who is taking my devotee away from me. So he appeared in the mind. And also they say that because mind is also known as Gopal. Go means senses and Pal means one who controls. So mind is also known as Gopal. So Krishna thought, I'm going to be a Gopal, I'm going to herd the cows, so I'm going to be a Gopal, let me interact with this Gopal of the material world and see how he works. So mind is the enemy, but mind can also be friend. Developing proper mood means to make mind a friend. Developing proper mood means to go from Manoranjan to Krishna Ranjan. Ranjan means to give pleasure. And Manoranjan means to give pleasure to mind. Manoranjan, or we call it entertainment. So from Manoranjan, we should go to Krishna Ranjan. That is the purpose of bhakti. And to develop a proper mood, we should do certain things. And the very first thing is that we should develop some qualities. Try to develop qualities like being selfless, being humble, being bold. These are some of the qualities of a Vaishnava. Very important. One has to be selfless. Selfless means what? When we hear this word selfless, we feel scared. Selfless, nothing for me. Selfless does not mean to destroy your existence. That is not actually selfless. Not to lose, but to get a transcendental existence. That's why we become selfless. So generally we feel that selfless means to be loose. No, selfless means to connect. Not to give up the purpose, but to connect to the higher purpose. That is being selfless. And not to give up needs. Selfless means I have no need. No, not to give up the needs, but to connect to the spiritual needs. That is real selflessness. And humility? Humility means to give place to Radha and Krishna in your heart. That is humility. Humility means to follow the spiritual master, follow the acharyas strictly. That is humility. Humility is not external. And how to be bold? Bold means to boldly accept the teachings of the acharyas and preach worldwide. That is being bold, like Prabhupada. He took the teachings of the parampara and he preached it boldly, worldwide. So that is the meaning of being bold. So we should be in this category where we can be bold. A devotee should be like shark. The shark fish, this analogy is given when we teach nectar of devotion. So a devotee should be like shark. What are the qualities of the shark? It rejects the shallow waters. It does never come into the net of the fisherman and it accepts only the ocean. These three qualities should be accepted by every devotee. We should become sharks. Don't be a small fish in this ocean. So be a shark. What is the meaning of shark? Reject the shallow waters. Reject all other things. Only Krishna. Anukulena Krishna Anushilanam Bhaktiruttama. So that is the meaning. That we are attached to so many things. We are attached to our rituals. We are attached to our traditions. And that is the reason we are not able to perform devotional service fully. We feel that Krishna is also one of the GBCs. Like we have the GBC of gods, so Krishna is one of them. Like we have for ISKCON, we have GBCs, there are many GBCs. So that's not. Krishna is different. Krishna is supreme. To understand that is important. Like in Padma Purana, it is said, Akashat patitam toyam yatha gacchanti sagarat sarvadevo namaskaraha keshavam pratigacchati. So people translate it as that whatever you do, whomever you worship, ultimately it will be same. No,
in that verse itself, Sarva Devo, all other demigods, all other things have been kept aside, Krishkeshav, Krishna has been given special position. So yes, whatever you do ultimately goes to Krishna, but Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that is avidhi purvakam. So worship Krishna, develop that faith, be like shark, reject the shallow waters, don't swim in that, you're not going to get anything. And then net, the sharks are never caught by fishermen, because they're so huge. So never be caught by the net of this material world spread by Maya, currently known by the name Internet. See, Internet, web, you know, so what are all these? To catch you, right? So don't be caught by the net of Maya. In India they started this Jio, right? Actually it's Maro, it's not Jio. From the time Jio has come, it has become so difficult for us for youth preaching. Hardly boys are coming for the classes because, you know, they have everything now. Earlier in India, internet was a little costly. And then our great thinkers thought that India should do datagiri. So then, you know, they made internet practically free. And you see what's happening. Everyone is attached to internet. The relationships are breaking. People are not interested in devotion. Even when they're interested, the devotion should be through internet. People don't ask nowadays me that, Prabhuji, where do you give lectures? They ask, are you on YouTube? Are you on Facebook? Are you on Twitter? If you are there, you are a good preacher. Otherwise, so much it has got. And this is how it happens. We get so used to it. You know, this is a trap of Maya. Very clear we can see it. People were happy before. Like I remember in India when I used to travel by train, they used to talk so much. Of course, I used to get disturbed. But people, you know, families sitting, they will talk. Of course, most of the time they'll criticize the other members. But whatever, at least they were talking, right? I remember one time I was traveling and two ladies were traveling, right, sitting next to me, and this was an AC compartment closed. And I think I was there for 6-7 hours. Continuously they went on criticizing each and one's husband, you know. My husband does this, my husband does that. And I was thinking, you know, as if they have got, today they have got a chance. They cannot do it at home or something. So at least people were talking, whatever, but at least they were talking or sleeping or eating. These are the three things they used to do while traveling. But now when I travel in train, it's so silent. That's one advantage of mobile. So silent. Husband, wife, child. All three have their own mobile. They're not even bothered what's happening, you know, around them. So it's just becoming so attached. And this is how Maya sends the trap. We start accepting the things which are not proper to be part of life. That's how everything is spread. Mobiles. Initially they came, they just gave free. You know, wherever you want to talk, free. And then they started charging. Internet now free. And then now so much is there. So they are not, be like shark, don't be caught by this net of Maya. And the third thing is, accept only ocean. Sharks you won't find in small ponds. Accept ocean. Ocean of bhakti. Bhakti rasamrit sindhu. So accept that ocean. Be like a doll, as Prabhupada writes in his bhajan, Nachao, Nachao, Prabhu, Nachao, Semate, Kashtera Putali Jadi, Nachao, Semate. Be like a doll. So for that, to come to that position, we need to be very sincere in our sadhana. We need to be dedicated to the spiritual master. And when we are performing devotional service, the first thing should be, we should perform without material profit, without the desire for material profit. We are not here to gain anything material. No position, no power, no money. We are here to give. Please understand. It's a small change in our attitude. Don't expect anything in devotional service. Come here to give to Krishna, not to take. If you come to take, you'll never be happy. If you come to give, you'll always be happy. Because you will not be in misery. Oh, this thing has happened to me. Krishna has done this to me. I have been chanting for 30 years and still this thing happened. Still somebody died in my house. And people say like that. What do you mean if you chant nobody will die in your house? So, you know, don't do bhakti for material profit. That, you know, I am coming to temple, as long as I am coming my factory is going very well. Not this. This anyway is depending on your karma. Your happiness and misery of this material world depends on your karma. But bhakti does not depend on your karma. Please understand this. Bhakti you don't get by your karma. That you did something and you got bhakti. Bhakti you get by mercy of a devotee. That is bhakti. You can get only by mercy of a devotee. And you cannot progress on your own. You cannot think that by my power I am progressing. You can progress by the mercy of a devotee. So always be a seeker of mercy, a beggar of mercy. That is bhakti. Never think that you have become very great, you have become very senior. Especially it happens when you become senior, when you have position, when you are managing, when you start thinking to be yourself as controller. Or when you are preaching, right? You see, when you are sitting here, it's such a great thing, right? Everyone looking at you. Whatever you are saying, everyone is accepting. So such a great thing, huh? It can bring a lot of ego. But if you are in a humble position, you are not doing bhakti for any material profits. Give it up. Start thinking. Every day think that whether I did anything for my material gain, did I chastise that devotee for my material gain, did I go to the temple for material gain, did I give a class for material gain, so that people should say, Prabhuji, wonderful class. Some of you please say after this, when I come back, so that my material desires are fulfilled. So what is this? This is bhakti of your ego. Not bhakti of Krishna. So bhakti should be performed without material desire and without unnecessary violence. Violence means what? When we talk of violence, violence can be for the body, violence can be for the mind, and violence can be for the soul. The highest violence, paramahimsa, is considered to keep the soul away from Krishna. And that is why when Lord Buddha came, he preached Ahimsa Parmo Dharma. To which Ahimsa was he talking of? He was talking of the Himsa which is done by taking the soul away from Krishna. So that is why he said Ahimsa Parmo Dharma. Bring the soul back to Krishna. That is the topmost religion. And if you cannot bring thousands and thousands of souls like Srila Prabhupada, at least bring one soul which is in this body near to Krishna. At least perform that ahimsa. So perform bhakti without unnecessary violence. And a very important element, respect to spiritual master. In Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna speaks about 20 items of knowledge, where he says, beyond this everything, I mean, this is only knowledge, nothing beyond this. So in that, Prabhupada writes, takes three important elements out of that. Starting from Amanitvam, Adambitvam, Ahimsa, Kshantirajam, Amacharya, Upasanam, Shaucham, etc., all those. So Prabhupada gives three importance to three things. Number one, Amanitvam. He speaks about it in the purport. And number two, Acharya Upasana. And number three, Bhaktir Avyabhicharini. So, bhakti should be performed by surrendering to spiritual master, respecting spiritual master in every sense. That is real humility. To accept, it is not that just we sing every day, Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitete Kariyai Karana Kariha Mane Asha. But actually take it to your heart. That is important. every word of our prayer starting from Sansara Davanal has to be taken into life. And then you will see the difference. So in this way, if we perform bhakti, there are so many other things which we can discuss. But in essence, that to perform bhakti, as Prabhupada is saying, in proper mood is important. So along with the activities of bhakti, try to develop that mood, proper mood, that we are here to serve, not to be served. That should be our mood. We are in bhakti to give, not to take. Give your time to Krishna. Give your talent to Krishna. Give your everything for the service of Vaishnavas and Krishna. So this mood will make bhakti a pure devotional service. So anukulena Krishna anushilanam bhakti ruttama. This is the message of the purport which Prabhupada is giving. He is giving prelude to the next verses which are going to come. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Are there any questions or comments, corrections? Yes, Prabhu. I was missing you. Yes. Well, when Shankaracharya says that Jagat Mithya, that there is nothing, it's all illusion, and when we say that it is all made up of modes of material nature, and when you remove it, nothing remains, so our meaning is that it is temporary, what we see the manifestation. Actually, if you remove the modes, then it will not be there. So, modes can manifest the world and most modes can take away. It's not illusion. His meaning was that actually you're seeing the cloth, you don't see the cloth. It's not there. It's all illusion. It's not actually, doesn't exist, but you are seeing. Our proposition is, yes, it does exist. Like we can see the cloth, but it is made up of only modes of material nature, and when you remove the modes, it's no more there. So the meaning of saying that is, that our existence in this material world is due to the influence of the modes of material nature. The moment we are away from the modes of material nature, even being in this world, the world does not exist for us. So it's not illusion, it's there, but it doesn't exist, means it doesn't affect us at all. Like our acharyas, Prabhupada and all. So they are there here in this world, but they are not affected by the world. And that is the art one devotee should learn. That we need to be in this world, but not of this world. Thank you. Sorry? Second, yes, I can go on, but I don't have time, because he has already come to give announcement, and this is the indication that you should stop. Yes. The mood, again, if you are chanting, and while chanting, you are thinking that, you know, this person has done so much for me, I'm not going to leave him. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Let Krishna punish him as much as he can. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. This is mode of ignorance, right? You're chanting. It's Hare Krishna, it's transcendental. Prabhupada said it's transcendental sound vibration. Then how can it be in ignorance? Your mood, right? Or you're chanting. Suppose Friday, all the devotees are there and you're chanting, right? You know, sitting straight and the only mood is people should say, Prabhuji, kya chanting karte hai, you know? It's a very nice chanting. And then people should come and tell, Prabhuji, you are a pure devotee, the way you chant. This is passion, right? Recognition, you are doing it. So, what makes our chanting, what makes our activities, the purpose behind it. That is why I said, acts are not important. What is important is the purpose behind it. Because if you are chanting with such material motive, what are you gaining? You are killing a mosquito by a cannon. Right? You have a cannon and you are using it to kill a mosquito. What is the point? You know, you can get so many things. Why ask for this? So that makes it material. You have something allowed to take? Yes. What? That's in the modes. So three modes are there. We have Uttam Sattva, Madhyam Sattva and Adham Sattva. So all these three are in all these three, other three also. Oh, well, how do you categorize? Oh, that's a whole class in that. How to categorize the three one? How do you recognize what is Uttama, Sattva and Madhyama and right in that? Yeah, there are categories. just with a small example, not going in detail. Like in mode of goodness, say you see some animals which are in mode of goodness, maybe in good, having higher category of mode of goodness, like cow is considered to be in a higher category of mode of goodness. But there can be some other who have the goodness, but may not be in that higher category. May not be pure goodness. Also, pure goodness means not in the sense of our pure goodness. The purity, or you can say, like you have milk, you keep on boiling it, right, to make it rubbery. So all three stages it is milk. So whether you take milk, you take it little strong, or you take it in rubbery form. It's all milk in three forms. But what is the difference? The condensation, you can say the effect is more. So similarly, three things are there. They are all goodness, but in different ways. Maybe one day we'll have class on only on that. All explaining three, adhama. Bhakti is never adhama. Bhakti is transcendental. The person performing is in the mode. The person who is performing, he is into that mode. Bhakti is transcendental. But that's what Prabhupada is explaining. It's the mood that makes it goodness and passion. Or there it's called adhama, not kanishta. I mean the three parts. There it's called, when you divide the modes, it is adham, madhyam and uttam. When you say the devotees, they are kanishta, madhyam and uttama. That is for the devotees or adhikaris. One who has the adhikar for performing bhakti. So depending on his adhikar, he is categorized. That is kanishta, madhyam. Yes, you can ask, I have no problem, but the managers are staring at me. And they say, you know, when next time if he sits on the Vyasas, and we'll have to see what to do. Yes. Activities of devotional service with a desire to gain material things is in fruitive activities. It makes it fruitive activities. So, like it's called Mishra Bhakti. Karma Mishra, Jnana Mishra, etc. So it's Mishra. Like demigods are in that position. They are performing Bhakti. They are very great devotees. But they still maintain material desires and they need to have something. Some fruitive desires they have. So they keep maintaining. So that is why it's in mode of goodness. So demigods are considered in mode of goodness. So wherever you have the desire of fruitive activities just doesn't mean karmakanda. It also has that any desire if you have for material gain, it's fruits, you're asking for some fruit out of it. So when you come and you think that I am doing bhakti, what is there for me in this? What am I going to gain materially? Then it's just fruitive activity. Shrama evahi kevalam. So it's just a waste of time. But if you come to give, that's what I was explaining, you come to give, you don't desire anything of material, then even if it is simplest thing is your, even if abominable thing is pure devotional service, like killing. When Arjuna was killing, it's pure devotional service for him because he didn't have a desire even to enjoy the kingdom or to kill people. That's what he told. That is the reason first chapter Arjuna speaks so much, to show that what he's going to perform is pure devotional service and to accept the order of Krishna to fight so that it becomes pure devotional service. And that is why he came in illusion and then Krishna ordered him and then he fought. So if you have material desire, it becomes fruitive. In general, fruitive activities means because he is doing everything, other thing you read it, he is offering it to Krishna, he is offering it to God. So one who can, in mode of goodness, can only do that. passion, he will only be concerned about himself. So that makes it mode of goodness. Yes. The material desire.
But each one of us, when we come for the first time into temple, we have the desire for putting activity.
True.
And because of that desire, we came here, and because of that only, you know, slowly that cleansing is happening. And
true.
So how can it be Shrama Yavai Kevalam? Because you are actually progressing in that sense, and everybody has to go through, right?
True. That's the stage. See, when you come to devotional service, you're passing through a stage. So everyone comes with the material desires. When it becomes Shrama Eva Kevalam, even after understanding, you continue to do that. Then it becomes Shrama Eva Hi Kevalam. You're hearing. Why? The verse says that you have not developed the taste for Katha. Vishwaksenu Katha Suya Na Utpadiyad Yadi Ratim Shrama Eva Hi Kevalam. So even after hearing, if you have not developed that taste, because that taste cannot develop the day you come, first day. But it is said for those who are devotees, who are following principles or some, still they are maintaining material desires. But when we come, it is just a stage, and automatically from that stage we come higher. So that we have to come. So that is not the stage being spoken. It is like even after hearing the katha, you are not developing the taste for it. And still you maintain. As a devotee, still you maintain material desire. Initially, you are not a devotee. You have material desire, but you have just come to Krishna. So that is the difference.
Just a follow up on this. So for a grihastha,
yes.
It's a complete, because for a sannyasi or for a person who is in a grounds daughter, for a brahmachari, it's much more easier to actually say in that sense, you know, that but for grihastha, you have to have no material desires or no associative activities. Is that possible, actually?
100%. The question is that, is it possible for grahasthas to have 100% no material desire? For brahmachari sannyasis is okay. In fact, nowadays brahmachari sannyasis have more material desires than grahasthas. They want recognition, they want to be something like that. So, yes, it is possible. If we follow the proper ashrama, if we follow the rules and regulations of the grahastha ashrama, there have been like examples. And even today there are examples in our movement. We have very exalted grahasthas who are better than sannyasis and brahmacharis in terms of their devotion. If you accept it as an ashrama, it is difficult, no doubt. Because being with the family, obviously the attachment comes and desires come for material gains. But it is, even today it is possible. And grahastha ashram, in fact, is a good ashram to perform devotional service, as per Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He says, in this Kali Yuga, better to be a grahastha rather than being a hypocrite brahmachari. You know, so better to be a grahastha. Bhagavatam also says that in grahastha ashram, it's like Durga. It's controlled. You know, fort, you're protected from many things. So, it is possible for a grahastha if you take it as an ashrama. So ashrama means where you do shrama to perform akarma. That is called ashrama. So then that means if you take your grahastha ashram or your grahastha family life as an ashram and try performing it for Krishna, at a stage it becomes easier for you. So it is possible. Most of Mahaprabhu's associates were grahasthas. Most of our Mahajanas are, how many Mahajanas are grahasthas out of 12? How many are grahasthas and how many are brahmacharis? Okay, do you know how many Mahajans are there? 12. Who knows the names? All the names, if you know, then say. Don't start counting. You know, Prabhu, all the names? Okay. Just 1 minute. Say one and then wait. Brahma. Grahastha or brahmachari? Pakka? Nishit? Okay, yes, he is grahastha. Okay, Brahma is grahastha. Count, somebody can count how many. Yes, you can do it. Okay, next, Prabhu. Okay, Shiva. He is a grahastha or brahmachari? Oh my God, I am now confused, you know. Because I was thinking more are brahmacharis, now more are grihasthas are coming. Okay, third. Narada. Brahmachari or grihastha?
Brahmachari.
Previous life he was a grihastha, but now he's a brahmachari. Okay. Brahmachari. Fourth. Four kumaras. Brahmachari or grihastha?
Brahmachari.
50-50. Now I'm good. Okay, out of 4, 2, 2. Yes, fifth. Manu. Is a grihastha or brahmachari?
Grihastha.
Sure. Obviously has to be. Yes. Okay, then. Prahlad Maharaj. Is a grihastha or brahmachari? Is it brahmachari, na? Oh, before brahmachari, afterwards grihastha. Thank you. Okay, grihastha. Then, how many are over? Six. Seven, Kapila. How many, Kapila is a brahmachari or grihastha? Brahmachari, huh? He is a brahmachari. He left house after. Huh? Shukadev Goswami. Brahmachari or grihastha? You're counting, right? 4-4, okay, equal. Tie is now going on. Okay, next. Janak. He's a grihastha or brahmachari? He's a brahmachari grihastha, actually. Okay, grihastha. Yes, next. Bhishma. He's a brahmachari or grihastha? Actually, he had a daughter who was married to Krishna. You know that, Bhishma? Before leaving his body, he married his daughter to Krishna. His mati, his buddhi, intelligence, that was his daughter. Don't think of what happened. We never heard kya hua aisa. Okay, yes. Huh? Yamaraj, he's a grihastha or a brahmachari? Confusion. So sure, huh? Yeah, he has to be. Perform some. So how many?
Six
grihasthas, five brahmacharis. Now the last one. So you see more are grihasthas, so then, you know, how can we say we cannot perform? Should I take more questions? Okay, we'll take in the room. Okay. Thank you very much. All other questions, maybe because there are other programs, so we'll take it later. Thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Kij, Srila Prabhupada Kij, Nitai Gaur Premanande.